Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let me get
advance the runner, you know, gee whiz.
Let's go, Jan.
We good now, Pasta? All right.
You know what beat this is? Black Republicans, Jay-Z and Nas.
Well, you are on cloud nine right now.
Don't tell the people, because I love my job.
I know,
that's
all I was going to say.
Pasta Carter, the Fantastic Four, which you seen, by the way, huh?
Yeah, I did.
Letter great. That's not good if you got to think about it like that.
B plus. I thought it was pretty good.
I'm going to check it out this weekend.
B plus. I thought it was solid. A little bit better than Superman, which you didn't like.
Either did Francesca. Dude, he went on a 20-minute.
Oh, who cares?
And who's this dog? Super dog.
I'm sorry, but I cannot.
I can't stop listening.
I can't have Francesca be giving movie reviews, especially on ones from 2020. As a talking dog. They got a talking dog that comes in
to
save Superman.
I force my son to listen to every word. It's not just me. Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. Oh, you know who's going to be the crypto? Well, that's actually, I don't want to go there. But the person who is, I think, going to save the 49ers season, it's becoming clear. Go.
Give me a second. Who's going to save the 49ers? Salah.
It's Robert Salah. Right. He is the guy that is going to save their season. I feel the most confident in saying that he is their biggest offseason acquisition.
Damn, E.
It's not close. And it's because I do think that he has, number one, Kyle Shanahan's trust. Number two,
damn,
the experience of going through multiple of these situations. He's had young guys that he's turned from 2018 to 2019 into a Super Bowl caliber defense. He's gone to New York, where even though the team itself was not great, that was mostly because he couldn't get much out of his offense.
Yeah.
And his defenses were competitive.
Be quiet.
They were talented. And now with the Niners, they have a lot of pressure on them to get the most out of this particular rookie class, or I would say just a young core of defensive players. And I don't think there's anybody better equipped to do that job.
Man, Evan, you know what? I love that. You got me fired up just about Salah. And I got to say this, regardless if you like it or not, you're in my life, not just because you're my coworker, you're my friend and brother. But what I do love about you, Evan, if people don't tell you enough, I know your mom did this morning, she left you, and I do too. But the bottom line is, I believe you are fair and you're balanced. I've seen you take a stand, and then with more information, you'll be like, you know what, Goo? I see it this way now, and I appreciate that because that represents realness. So I say all that to say is, you're giving, it feels like, the benefit of the doubt to Robert Saleh and what he's done, and you think they're back. I'm not being negative, but my question to that is, if we do see the first four or five games of a Niner defense that might mirror last year's defense, or they're kind of lacking and maybe the rookies are struggling, my question to you is, how do you divvy up? Will you double back and be like, Goo, I'm not disappointed, but it didn't hit like I thought? Because you're giving him his flowers now, and I'm just wondering, as you watch and we move down this season, if it's not all peaches and cream, what will Evan get? Will you double back and be like, hey, he didn't have the impact, or he doesn't have the horses, because I know it's not him. When he has the horses, he's proven. Or will you be some Niner fans like, man, I expected more from this unit because of Salah, regardless we got a bunch of these youngsters?
Well, I think it all falls at the feet of the head coach. I mean, to me, like, if they're not able to get, again, a top 5 or 10 defense out of this group, would I be disappointed? Yes. But also, they have, like, they're replacing 5 different positions. You know, and we're going to hear about them in just a little bit from someone who's been at training camp, Jennifer Lee Chan, who was on with the Morning Roast. But off-ball linebacker is a position.
Man.
Defensive tackle is a position. even though D-end is going to be filled by Mykel Williams, like, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Your third corner, potentially your second corner if a guy's down, both of your safeties. There's a lot that they have to work on and that they're going to have to figure out relatively fast. So as far as I don't know if it's a built-in excuse. What I do not want, and I think that I'm hoping that this is the case because of the equity that he's built within the Niners organization as a respected play caller on the defensive side of the football. I hope that for the first time in 3 years, that the DC's not the fall guy.
Damn.
That the DC does not get scapegoated.
Yeah,
because
no
I
doubt.
Think Robert Saleh, number one, wouldn't have took the job if he thought that was the case.
Because Wilkes was the goat.
Wilkes was a scapegoat. Last year, Sorensen, he didn't do a good job, but he was a scapegoat. If this team does not succeed this year, I do not want all fingers being pointed at the defensive coordinator. I would like some to be pointed at the head coach, because it feels like, even though we all recognize how good of a head coach Kyle Shanahan is, that it's never ultimately on him. Like, it's on him in the biggest game, but last year it was, well, it's because of injuries. The DC was a joke. The special teams coordinator didn't do a good job. I'm sorry. The head coach, just like we're talking about holding Melvin accountable.
And you did say that. That's where I was going.
And again, I don't think it's out of the question that if the Giants go off the rails that Melvin isn't back next year. I'm just saying, to me, I like having Robert Saleh back as DC. Again, I think he's their biggest offseason acquisition. But it cannot be at the end of this year if this defense doesn't play well. Well, it's because of the defense and Saleh. Like that, I'm sorry. I'm not going
to
want to hear that.
All right, let me read this to you and see if you want to hear this. This is from our guy down south in San Jose, Austin. Evan, cannot be about Saleh. It's the damn players who have to get it done.
Well, yes, obviously. But again, I think that he's the proper person to put in that place to help a lot of different known parts. And again, that's why it's like he has five different new starters on that side of the football. And yes, he will have worked with Warner before and Bosa before, but even someone as talented as Diamondour and Lenore, he's never called plays for before.
Yeah, man.
He's been complimentary of him, but it is going to take a little bit of time, and that's why I'm not going to be pointing all fingers at him for not suddenly rectifying a situation that last year left me wanting more.
How good do you think this team can be?
The Niners?
Yeah. Would you be more shocked if they won the division or missed the playoffs? I'm in the middle.
Yeah, so am I. That's a really good question.
And it's exciting at the same time. And I know Niner felt like it ain't exciting if we don't win the division, but...
Hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
E, that's 6-11. I still can't tell you definitively what I lost in, or what the Niners lost. And people are going to be like, who cares, fat mouth? But what the Niners lost for me in regard to confidence. I know Purdy wasn't Purdy from the first couple years. It wasn't all his fault. There was no McCaffrey. But Evan, there's so many damn question marks.
There are a lot of question marks. And I think it's because of last season. Anytime you go 6-11 and miss the playoffs, especially when you're expected to challenge for a Super Bowl, you got to question everything. I mean,
damn.
And I don't know if the Niners are, because that's probably not the way you can operate, but as fans, I think it's completely fair to wonder what we're going to get this year. I think it could be a wide range of things. I don't think they'd go 6-11, but if they get hit by injuries again, yeah, that's in the cards. I also don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that with a softer schedule and some injury health, or some injury luck in a good way.
Right.
Yeah, this team could win 11 or 12 games.
It's going to be weird. This will be the first season in forever that no Debo in the beatbox is coming out. Like, that guy's gone, Evan. Ayuk is not going to be there week one in Seattle. Like, that was a... part of your DNA and who you were. Just from the mental standpoint of it all, you still got Trent.
Well, to answer your question, though, I think I would be more surprised if they won the division. I think the Rams are going to be really good this year.
They were really good to me last year.
So I would be surprised if the Niners took that big of a step. But again, missing the playoffs in the NFC could mean going 8-9.
Oh man.
You know, I think that 9 or 10 wins might be good enough to sneak them in as a wild card. Because it's a top heavy conference, but beyond, I mean, look, Philadelphia, you obviously got Detroit, LA, Washington, Green Bay.
I'm showing love some love.
Minnesota, maybe.
Yeah. Well, we got to see JJ, the youngster, the rookie back there, the quarterback, because he's got big shoes to fill in regard to what they did last year. And what about Penix in Atlanta?
Well, that division's wide open. Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is going to win that division.
What about Chicago? I think they're going to be better. Caleb?
Chicago could take a step, but are they going to take a playoff leap? I don't know. I mean, I think the Niners, to me...
Well, that's the question for them.
You know, I think they are right now, to me, that one of the... They're a top six team in the NFC, but I think they could prove that they're back in the top three two.
No, I'm
but I could also see them being, again, a team that flounders like they did last season. I mean, we don't know where this thing is going.
No doubt, man.
And I think this season's going to be revealing a lot about what the next direction of the franchise is.
Yeah, and I share with you and you all my imperfections. And Evan, I'm telling you, last year's 6-11 campaign for the Niners, I rode it till the wheels fell off. Even that Sunday night game against Buffalo in the snow, I just kept thinking, just like the Giants. So, Evan, I'm talking to myself out loud. When am I personally going to learn? But, Evan, I kept thinking each week for the Niners, as you know, they didn't demonstrate they were playing at their best. They weren't healthy. I just gave them what they earned, and the Giants really haven't, the benefit of the doubt. But to watch that season spiral the way that it did, like, I'm still shocked, Evan, that the Niners didn't get back on the horse. But you are right. A big part of that was injuries.
Well, injuries, Super Bowl hangover. I mean, that team was just at its end. Like, that core had to be broken up. But there was something that, again, I wanted to glean from this Saleh quote. And I also wanted to mention, so this was in The Athletic. Charvarius Ward was interviewed by Mike Silver.
Okay.
And there was something that I thought was kind of interesting about, it is in reference to Kyle Shanahan. But again, here's that quote that I was talking about earlier, where Robert Saleh, I think, he told me a lot while saying a little.
I always tell the story back in 2019. If you guys remember that that defense was pretty damn good, and we had that Halloween game against Arizona on Thursday Night Football, and it was the first time we were playing Kyler Murray. And I feel like I personally take responsibility. I put an enormous amount of pressure on Fred in that game to make sure that we were in the right call, and I did not do him a disservice, because he was thinking the whole game and not playing. And so the learning experience for me, it's not about the call, it's not being in the right call, it's about making sure that the players can go fast as heck. And and you know, so Fred was kind of that trigger where they all have a breaking point, doesn't matter. And Fred is, I mean, he's like a computer smart, you know, and it's but at the same time, they still got to be able to do it within 20 seconds of getting a call and being able to react and play fast. So you're always trying to learn your players, and you're always cognizant of what that ceiling is, because you never want to sacrifice their ability to play fast just for the sake of being a guru as a play caller.
Wow.
I hear someone that he's concerned with how to motivate his team. And actually, I think that's what... That to me is the quality that last year's team didn't have was motivation. And I think that's what Robert Saleh represents to me. And I know it may not sound like X's and O's or this or that, but to me, I do think that last year's team, they were not motivated.
And Manti Te'o said it in the preseason.
They lost their motivation when they lost in the Super Bowl.
Man.
And in the offseason, were more concerned with getting paid than trying to bounce back.
But Evan, with that, I just got to double back, because I disagree on the premise of they tried. Those guys in red and gold last year tried, regardless of who tried to get their chicken in the offseason. So you're not saying that. But when you say a hangover, I just feel like a hangover is for the winners. And we watch the Chiefs, even on good and bad days, as much as they've done it and try to get back, you know, they're the ones that could say we had a hangover, but you're not there saying that the Niners didn't try last year. Evan, I saw a team that tried, and I saw a team that got injured. I just want you to judge this take from me. Why do I feel like Robert Saleh was saying, I'm not afraid to dumb it down for some of my guys? And I know that has a negative connotation, but it doesn't. We're talking sports. I feel like it makes concepts and things, principles easier. And I wish some other coaches in the Bay Area would take heed to that. Like, I don't think we'd ever hear Kyle say something like that. Am I wrong for kind of paraphrasing and saying, I'm not afraid to dumb it down so guys can still play and think fast?
He says it in his own way. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station and home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco, getting in for Steinmetz with Guru. I think Kyle does it in a, he does it in a way that it almost, he almost takes ownership of it. I feel like Saleh is somebody that when he talks, he gives credit first and foremost to the player. And again, at the very end, he's talking about what can I do that allows my player to play naturally and fast, as opposed to wanting to be a guru play caller. And I get the sense that sometimes he may not be intending to do it, but it's just like, I'm just reading his actions. Shanahan sometimes wants to be the guru. He wants to be Daryl Johnson. He wants to be the guru. And it's not always about that. A defense and offense, I'm sure, are different, but the principle is the same. You want your guys to play in as close to a flow state as possible. And that's where the motivation aspect comes in for me, is Robert Saleh, I think, is able to motivate whoever he works with. He doesn't work with the offense, but he sure as hell works with the defense, and that's what I think we're going to see this year, a much more motivated defense.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm here for it. We got our popcorn ready, and we'll see. And man, Evan, I'm just you got me up here thinking, man, like, would Kyle ever or Steve Kerr say that? Because I think about Kuminga. I know it's different sports, but I never thought they tried to dumb it down or make it – I'm going to quit using that – or make it easier for him to adapt and maybe quit thinking because he was slow in getting some of the principles and concepts. I think that's a big part of stuff.
Yes, I'm with you. I think that's fair. But – dumbing it down for or simplifying things on offense for, say, someone like Kuminga comes directly at the expense of everything that makes your offense great with someone like Steph. So I do think that that's the dilemma, is who you're prioritizing. Are you prioritizing, and that's, again, why I think that some of the younger players have struggled to develop into or blossom, whatever you want to say, in Kerr's system. It's because they're not the focus. Steph Curry's the focus.
But what if I said, shit, what about the team should be the focus too?
But Steph is the team. I mean, that's what everybody says.
Hey, I ain't mad at that.
I mean, if we're not trying to amplify and get the best out of our best player, then what are we doing? You know, look, I know that there's frustration on that front, but that's where I think that, you know, why I can understand the frustration about Kerr with JK, but to me, and we're going to play some sound in a bit that I kind of take umbrage with, but that's why it's somewhat of a moot point for me.
I know how you feel. It is interesting, and now I'm serious, man. I didn't know what to think about the reacquisition of Saleh, but Evan, I got to put respect on what he's done when he was here on the first tour. But I will say, you know, the great Jimmy Johnson, the coach of Miami and the Dallas Cowboys, always said you can't win the race if you don't have the horses. And I know you got Bosa and Warner and the guys that you mentioned, but I'm eager to see how – I don't want to say how he piecemeals it, but there's a lot of youth, especially on the defense, that's going to be counted on, good or bad.
But and then this also brings in the Charvarius Ward words.
Okay.
So he's on the Colts now. Signed, I think, a 3-for-60 deal with Indianapolis.
Say?
And he talked to Mike Silver earlier this week at training camp. So, right now, All-Pro 2023, Charvarius Ward. And much like a lot of people, and this is how I know that not everybody on that team could have been motivated. And I do think, even though we talked about it ad nauseum, I will go to the grave believing that some of those contract disputes, they had lingering effects on last season. There was a residue left from McCaffrey, from Williams, and from Ayuk. And you know how I know it? Because Charvarius Ward told Mike Silver that earlier this week in the article that came out today. Quote, "I was hurt when I realized I wasn't getting a contract extension or even an offer for an extension. So I wasn't motivated. Like from OTAs all the way through camp, I was kind of pissed off. I knew when the season started, it was a wrap for me in the Bay." I think a lot of players felt that way. Look at how many guys they got rid of this offseason. They traded Debo. They didn't bring Hufanga back. They didn't bring Greenlaw back. They didn't bring Ward back. They cut Hargrave. All of these guys knew that there was a timeline to their career and their time in San Francisco. So you can't tell me that they were all your best players, or a lot of guys who were supposed to be your best players, were not motivated last year.
But Evan, but I'll say this. Your play is your resume, and I get him opening up, and one could say it's sour grapes, but if you talk about the genesis of his statement, yeah, he was mad because they told him they didn't want him. But my point is, I never watched him play last year, and you correct me if I'm wrong, he never quit. He never quit, and that's why he's got a new team, because had he, Evan, I don't think the Colts would have been interested in him. But no, there's something there, but he didn't say I went out there and half-assed. That's not why they were 6-11.
No, but I think when a lot of people aren't bought in, that's what happens. And a lot of those games, Goo, because we were talking about them every Monday. I remember you and Steiny going at it. Well, what happened on that final drive? Well, it was a missed kick here. Well, it was a drop. Ronnie Bell on line one. He catches that ball. They beat the Rams.
In L.A.
It was a missed punt return, miscommunication on coverage. All of those details happen when not everyone is aligned. And that's what I'm gleaning from these comments. Now, to your point, Ward also went on to say that around the Cowboys game is when he decided to kick it into gear.
Okay, yeah, right.
And unfortunately, that's when his child passed away, and then it became very difficult for him to play at his best. But what I'm talking about is before all the tragedy befell him last season. I'm talking about in the summer. He was pissed off that he didn't get the money that he wanted because he wanted to stay in San Francisco, and he balled his ass out in 2023, just like a lot of people did to help them get to the precipice of a Super Bowl. But not everybody could get paid because they had to make room for Purdy. They had to make room for Trent. They had to make room for McCaffrey and Ayuk. They decided that those were the guys that they were going to keep, eventually now extending extensions to Warner and Kittle. That meant that other guys were not going to get a slice of the pie. And I'm just, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to dismiss that's what led and bled into last season.
Man, it's interesting. And like I said, Evan, I'll say this and I'll stand on it. You know, he didn't dog it, but he's sharing, you know, what matters most sometimes in life often is emotion and what's in his heart. And I appreciate you sharing that about the Dallas game is when he kind of got past it. But, you know, I do wonder, Evan, I'm being real, if we were to put the autopsy of his particular season, you know, on the table, had he gotten paid, would his play have looked any different? He shared with us his mentals, and you could be like, "Ooh, come on, put it together. Mentals, you're going to get a better performance on the field." But I'm just wondering. But I'm not mad at the honesty. But, Evan, isn't that – not that it takes away from your point or this story, but isn't that the par for the course in sports nowadays? Like, you know, Andrew Wiggins got his contract, and so did – Jordan Poole after they won in 2022, and then we find out Dre and Clay are pissed off. Like, you know, Dre and Clay we didn't even know that till after the fact, but I'm just thinking to myself, they never loafed, I guess, Dre and Clay, and then we find out years later that they were lightweight irritated.
Yeah, but I think that's just the modern athlete. Like, there's so much money on the line for these guys, and I think they also view it as a pride thing. Like, the money is what I'm worth as a player. You know, and Charvarius Ward, like, he also talks about how he understood the decisions they had to make. Effectively, they chose D'Amador Lenore over him. They gave him 5 for 92 this offseason, or during the middle of last season. But then he knew that My time was up.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is I can understand why it'd be difficult to come into work every day and give everything that you have, knowing that the place you want to be doesn't want you back.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying.
No, that hurts. I get it. I do get it.
You know, but again, I think they got a brand new slate this year. And there's also something more I want to dig into a little bit with what Charvarius Ward told Mike Silver of The Athletic about what happened last offseason that might have people feeling better about this year. What was removed from last season that the Niners now have an opportunity to make a clean slate out of? 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. All right, what's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We're back after this.
Hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.